Welcome to the Pool Nation Podcast, where it's all pool talk. And we ain't talking about netting and jetting or splashing and dashing. We're talking about becoming a nation of pool pros. We talk about the latest products, trends, and training in the pool industry. Now let's welcome your host, with over a decade of industry insider experience and still the reigning champion of Marco Polo, Edgar De Jesus, and his co-host, John J.J. Flawless, the fastest netter in the West, and Zach the Pool Boy Nicholas.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Pool Nation Live Podcast with myself, your host, Edgar De Jesus. And yes, I am the champion of Marco Polo, along with John J.J. Flawless, fastest hitter in the West, and famous Zach, the pool boy Nicholas. And this week, we're talking to Kelly Carrillo from Legacy Pool and Spa and founder of the Pool Girl Training. We're going to dive into her story and talk about how she got started in the industry, her journey, and her passion for helping other pool girls in our industry. I want to welcome everyone to our live podcast, the podcast where it's all pool talk, and we ain't talking about netting and jetting and splashing and dashing. We're talking about becoming a nation of pool pros. And yes, we will talk about the latest products, trends, and training in the pool industry. But before we get started today, I want to thank our sponsors for this podcast, the Ultimate Pool Pool, Pool Invoice, and thepoolmanuniversity.com. We want to thank them for their continued support. Zach, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. I got to say, if you hear my teeth chattering, it's because I'm sitting here freezing today. So I apologize in advance for that. I could use a little bit more of that heat that John was talking about last time. So I just got to say, I'm excited to talk to Kelly today and hear her story. I really enjoy talking to fellow pool pros and hearing about their experiences in our industry.
What temperature is it where you're at?
I don't even know. I just know it's freaking cold. And I moved from Idaho with the thought of if I move closer to the equator, I'm not going to have to deal with this stuff anymore. But man, it gets chilly down here. You wouldn't believe it, but it gets cold. So I'm ready for that spring to start kicking in.
It's funny because we're only like 4 hours away, but our temperatures like are completely different. I think today we're going to be like something degrees. That's crazy. John, good morning.
Good morning. And I'm sitting here tripping and I'm thinking, well, I'm in the twilight zone because last week we were talking about how cold it was and how mama had the heater on and I'm dying inside this little room. And I mean, literally it was like, you know, it was like 38 degrees during the night. And we're like 50, 55-ish during the day. And yesterday it was 87 degrees and today it's going to be 90 degrees and we're in the middle of January and I'm trying to figure this out. I just don't understand it. And I want the cold back. Do you believe that it's 90? It's going to be 90.
That's crazy.
It is. It's bonkers. We're setting records out here. The previous high was like 88, I believe. And that was like back in 1960, but now we're 90 degrees.
And that's crazy.
And through January.
The thing is, Zach, the heat in California, when it's 90, you go out to do pools and you just want to get the heck back inside because it's that dry, crazy. Anytime that we would start to hit into the 90s, it was like we'd get out, do no repair, just kind of do pools and everybody back in. But out here, it's like 96 and it's crazy. I don't know. It doesn't feel as, you know, dry. So you could still get out there and do work. Kelly, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm okay. How are you guys?
We're doing great. We're excited to have you guys on today.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Well, that's awesome. All right, guys, listen, I'm going to do a little confession today and I'm having a real struggle today because on top of everything, we're showcasing a pool girl. So let me tell you my story. And Kelly, I think you're going to totally get me on this one. So my daughter, which is 18, she's, you know, in her last year of high school. And so, you know, she goes out today to TCU and that's here in Texas doing a campus visit. So she goes with my wife and it's only a couple hours away. So it's not that big of a deal, but you know, John, I sit there and I go, oh, I kind of have to be a realist, right? They're going to grow up. They're going to move on. Life goes on. And she keeps telling me, hey, Dad, don't feel bad, but I'm ready to go do the college thing and kind of go do the college life thing. I'm like, it's totally not bothering me. I'm okay with it, baby. That's fine. That's part of life. But man, it hit me like a ton of bricks this morning. And it kind of sucks, you know? So she is out doing the campus visit. She, of course, is sending me pictures. And I'm like, she's just throwing salt into the wound. Oh. You know, she's only going to be a couple hours away, but it really hit me hard. So I think I'm going to have to tell her that her and I are going to be roommates, and I'm going to move over to where she's at so that we can, you know, go to school, you know, be roommates over there. So it's hitting me hard today. So, and John, you're in the same boat because one of yours is ready to graduate, right?
Yeah, she's 17 and she's going through her senior year right now in high school. And I mean, what a crappy senior year she's going through right now, if you really think about it.
Yeah.
You know, she's not going to get to experience any of those things, even though as a father, you know, kind of behind the scenes, I'm kind of like, ha, no problem. I don't have to worry about that right now, you know, and stuff like that. But in reality, you know, it's one of those moments that, you know, that every kid is looking forward to. And, you know, especially their senior year and being there with their friends and doing all the activities that they do. And it really sucks. But I mean, she's a trooper. And I mean, she's still kicking butt in school, doing great. And, you know, obviously college is going to be next year, but that's kind of up in the air. We're kind of trying to figure out exactly what's going to happen now, especially with this COVID thing. So she originally, we were thinking she wanted to become a doctor and do that. And she changed her mind. And now she wants to be a nurse, which I think is a beautiful thing. Plus, it's good on my pocketbook, too. You know, you know, nurses still make great money, right? And they do a valuable service to the world. But schooling isn't quite as expensive as becoming a doctor. So she's going to do that. And I think she's going to, right now, there's a community college here locally that she's going to go to first couple years. So she's going to hopefully stay home and be here with us. So I have a couple more years before I have to worry about that.
Before you have to worry. Yeah. My oldest went to community college first, did his 2 years, then went and he moved out here. So he went to UNT down here. So, you know, we've always kind of had him close by, but obviously she's the first girl and it's all the whole daddy's girl thing. And so it's like, oh, it didn't hit me till today. So anyways, now that I've dampened the mood and I kind of brought everybody down, let's kind of, you know, talk about this podcast. Guys, this is going to be a good one because I've been talking to Kelly and she's got some great stories and some great experiences. So Kelly, I'm really excited to share your story here on the podcast. John, Zach, and I are really excited to start this podcast. So, you know, we're going to ask you some questions about the business, but first we want to get the listeners to know your story and how you got started in the pool industry.
I got started because, like you said, second generation pool person. So growing up, you know, I always helped my parents out as much as I could, you know, depending on age. We had a pool store in Sacramento and my mom did a route in the area of the pool store. My dad did repairs. My mom would tell us we weren't allowed to go into the store when customers were there because we would make the customers feel stupid because I knew more than they did. But we'd go with my mom to do the route. There were times where I'd go with my dad and help him. So I would like go get tools or parts or something from the truck so he could save time and just keep working. I didn't want to get into pools. So I went to college and everything and did that. And then I did get a job at a school district. Money was okay. I loved working with the kids. But once I had my own children, then it wasn't really like, I guess you could say reasonable because I worked from 7 to 3. So I couldn't take my kids to doctor's appointments because their doctor, you know, the last one is at 3:30. I couldn't take my son to school at all or pick him up because I worked the 7:30 to 3. And I kind of wanted more time with the kids and better income. So pools was the best choice for me and the easiest, you know, with my parents. My dad's still doing it. You know, he gave me all the cleaning equipment he had in his garage and I just started advertising and I would buy things as I got customers and just built my route over, you know, actually got to 60 within 2 years while working a full-time job. So that's how I got into pool.
Now, your dad, he owned, does he still own the pool store or no? He does.
No, now he just does the repairs, remodels. He does some builds to, upgrades, stuff like that. He just liked it better because, as everyone in the pool industry knows, repairs and installs and all that is where the money really is. So yeah, he enjoys that.
So what part of California are you in?
I live in Carmichael, California, which is like a suburb of Sacramento in Northern California. So it's a little different than people in Southern California up here. The winter's colder. Can't say we really get a lot of rain because we haven't in the last couple years. But it's everyone thinks California is the same across the state, and it isn't.
But you have a sister in Houston that does pools, right? So both of you are in the industry.
I think she's in your neck of the woods, Zach. The pool gal Houston, I think she is on Instagram.
Yes. Yeah, she's in Houston. Same thing with her. She didn't want to do pools either. But again, she has her son and her daughter, and she was working in the refineries, and she would not, she'd be able to drop off her kids to school. Or at least daycare, really early in the morning, but then she wouldn't get out for 12 hours. And so it'd be really late. So there wasn't a lot of family time except for when she was off. And then when COVID hit, she's not working at the refinery because they don't need anybody at the moment. And then she decided, I'm just going to get into pools. It's easy for me. I have knowledge in it. The only con she had was we don't know how Houston is, the weather, how things run, it could be different than it is here in Sacramento. But she lucked out that she did meet up with her local IPSA chapter president. He's kind of helped her kind of learn some stuff about that area. She's learned that the pools seem to be on average bigger out there than here. She's telling me she has some pools that are like 40,000-50,000 gallons. So.
Hey, Zach, that's because everything is bigger in Texas, baby.
It's true, though. We have some monster pools out here.
John, I'm waiting for your response on that one.
It's true, though. I have a couple buddies that are in Houston. They're talking about, we're doing pools. And, they're getting these rates for them. And they're talking about their. I'm seeing pictures of them. I'm like, God, these are monsters. These are like lagoons, right? These are lakes. Or in my area, we have like, on average, our pools are like 10,000, 12,000 gallons. Maybe I even have some 7,000, 8,000 gallon pools, because every golf course has a pool and a little backyards because it's on a fairway. And you just got these little dinky pools everywhere, and they're like, it's like a water feature compared to some of the pools you have out in Texas. That's for sure. So
I was surprised at how much money in Houston they get compared to here. It's a significant difference.
Well, it is, but I think it's because it's so big, right? I mean, think about it, if they're doing a 30,000, they're there for like 45 minutes to an hour minimum, I think,
for
a pool like that, where if everything's perfect, right? I know with us, so there's a certain amount of time where if all the stars align and everything's just perfectly working, right? When I get there, I can be in and out of a pool in like 14, 15 minutes.
Yep.
It's testing, doing everything I need to do and not having to do anything extra, And where even them, just if all the stars align, I'm sure the quickest they can be out of a pool is like 30, 45 minutes. So if you think about it, it's three times the labor. They should be charging a lot more. And I think in reality, they're probably charging not enough. When it comes down to servicing that pool. Because if I had to spend 45 minutes at a pool every single time, prices would be a lot higher, At least that's my opinion.
I agree.
The thing is, too, I mean, I don't know how true it is, Kelly. I don't know if you have a lot of pools that are, like, really close on your route. But something here is just kind of weird where if you get a pool on the same street as another one, it's like you're ecstatic. Like, that's awesome. So there's a lot of drive time in between pools. True. That adds up a lot throughout the day. But I see a lot of people in those other markets and they're like holding their phone up over the fence and like, there's the next one and the next one and the next one. And that would be a dream for us. But for some reason in Texas, it seems like they're all very spaced out.
Yeah, out here where we're at, so everything's being built and all that kind of stuff. So all the pools out here are small, you know, the yards. I think it's just as the builders get smarter, they're like, hey, we're not going to give everybody as much land so that we can put more houses within that. So, you know, even if you look at the pools from Dallas, yeah, you do get, you know, a lot of the bigger pools and stuff like that in Dallas as you move up more north and a lot of the newer pools. John, it's kind of like yours where they're just, you know, a lot smaller. I like this area because all the neighborhoods are new and they're putting in trees and all the trees are baby trees. So there's really no trees in the backyards. So I'm like, that's where I would want my route.
Yeah, mine's pretty spaced out. I do the greater Sacramento area, which is still way smaller than Houston. I can get across town in 30 minutes, but I do know people who have very close routes where they do 120 pools 5 days a week and they're done in 4 to 5 hours.
Yeah. When I had mine out in California, especially with the vacation rentals, I used to do like 26 on Thursday and it was literally I'd park my truck and do four of them in a row, which was kind of nice. And you're just able to get in and out a lot quicker. So you currently have 60 pools or you got the 60 pools in the first 2 years. How many pools do you service now?
So I got 60 pools in the first 2 years. At that time I was just concentrating on the weekly service. Now currently I have 48 and I'm fine with that because, you know, daylight savings and everything. But I also do repairs and installs. So I want to make time for that. Usually it's in the summer that I have 60 because I have a handful of customers that only do it in the summer. And I'm trying to convince them otherwise. But I'm not a big fan of cleaning pools just because I find it kind of boring. I'm more of the type that likes to see, if I do clean pools, I like to see the big changes, you know, from green to blue kind of thing. Or, you know, the hard work of a repair and being able to see the difference in the customer happy.
What kind of repairs do you do?
I put pumps in, booster pumps, seal replacements, controllers, plumbing, electrical, lights, almost a little bit of everything.
Almost a little bit of everything. You just mentioned everything.
Well, I don't put heat pumps in yet.
Uh-huh.
I don't do heaters yet. Yeah, yet.
yet.
There still are some things that my dad needs to show me before I do it. So I know my limitations. So when I get those things, then I just refer it to him. But what's nice is he will let me know when he's doing it. And sometimes if he can schedule it with my schedule, he will. And then I can go learn it. So then I could start doing it.
John, have you put heat pumps in?
Yeah. Heat pumps are kind of a thing out here because it gets so hot. And during the summertime, people want to actually cool the water. Because water temps are like 98 degrees and it doesn't feel comfortable or refreshing. So if you get the right type of heat pump, you can get one that actually cools the water. And when you put that in, you know, we have multiple homes, especially vacation rentals, people that have the, you know, that rent out Airbnb, where one of the perks is, hey, you know, we have a cooled pool so you can enjoy it year round. And then obviously during the wintertime too, the heat pump will do a good amount of the heating where it saves them more money over, you know, overall. But yeah, heat pumps are great. They're just bigger. You know, it's all they really are. And to be honest, they're actually easier to install than a gas heater because you don't have to worry about a gas line. It's all electric. So you just have to make sure you have the right electrical stuff. But they're just really big. So sometimes you're kind of just limited in space, but we have quite a few of them out in our route.
How heavy are they?
Oh, they're monsters. They're monsters. They're like 400 pounds.
Yeah, you need like four people to really get one in.
Yeah, I almost tried taking one off on my own and just didn't work. Yeah, you got to be real careful because you can't tip them either. So, you know, when you take them out, you have to pick them up and put them down straight because, you know, they have Freon in there and you're not allowed to tip them. If you tip them, then screw up the system. So,
and you got to lift it over all the pumps and the plumbing, and you got about a foot between the fence and the plumbing, and you're off to the side. I mean, But they are really cool when they're installed.
And they definitely work something well. You have the supplier drop off for you.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
That's
so
a good.
I have a question, Kelly. Like, you guys are in California, the VS pump thing has been around for a while, right? So is it just VS pumps that you're installing, or do you guys still have single speeds going on over there?
We do still have single speeds. I don't replace motors very often. Usually I'm able to sell the customer on the variable speed pumps just on how much they're going to save, you know, with electricity. So anything under, you know, 3/4 horse, we can replace with a single speed motor. But again, it doesn't happen too often. Usually the only time I do that is, you know, maybe with a fountain. But even then I'm trying to convince them, hey, just get a more powerful variable speed and then you can control everything. And we just need to put some actuators and valves and you're good to go instead of having to worry about another, you know, motor have to replace in the future.
Yeah, for sure.
And out in California, California, you're required to go variable speed, right? You can't do the single anymore.
Technically, yeah.
Yeah.
On anything over a certain size?
Over 1 horsepower.
Over
one horsepower. Or 1 horsepower or higher. So anything that's, you know, under, there's some wiggle room. But, you know, usually if that happens, I try to put the Pentair motor in that is used on their variable speed. So it still is, you know, a little bit more energy efficient compared to some others.
And John, I hadn't asked you and I meant to ask you. So I had read that California was going through something with the gas. Are they trying to eliminate gas heaters for pools out there?
Yeah, they're talking about eliminating gas heaters. So I don't know. We're weird out here in California. You know, we're trendsetters or sometimes we fall on our faces when we try to implement some of these things. But they're just knowing that, you know, gas heaters are huge. They're extremely inefficient, right? If you really think about it, still to this day. You know, you're getting like 82% efficiency unless you kind of go up with like the ETI heater, right? The bad boy Pentair. So they're really inefficient and they use a lot of energy. So they're looking at ways to ban it or to get rid of it. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens there. We'll have to follow up on that.
Yeah. So Kelly, you're the president of your IPSIP chapter. Tell us about that and how you ended up becoming the president of the chapter.
Well, in my family, if you are in pools, you're part of IPSA. That's just the way it goes. It's not any other way. You're taught one way. Like my dad was in IPSA for a very long time. When I was in high school, I would volunteer at his chapter. I would volunteer at leadership to get, you know, my hours in. When I started being in the industry, automatically went to the chapter my dad was at because that is my area and joined. As soon as I joined, they had me become their secretary because they didn't have one and I was willing to help. And then just over time, eventually I took over as president. It's never really like, at least in our chapter, it's hard to find volunteers. So when, once you're an officer for a while.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's how I joined IPSA. I am very active in IPSA. So I volunteer with membership committee. There's even a young professional committee that, you know, kind of gives advice of what the younger generation wants. I had been on the beta test for their new app. So I try to be pretty active.
That's awesome. I'm an IPSA member also out here. Yeah.
No, I think IPSA is a great organization, especially for single polars. You know, it still has some benefits for employees. We have definitely been talking about having more options for employee members, but I don't see why not, especially if you're newer in the business, then you don't know people because you get that support from your members, you meet the reps, so then you get great relationships with them and that can help you out. So like when I started my business, I got half my route from my IPSA chapter because when they didn't do an area or weren't taking on any more work, they would refer it to me. That was like a huge benefit. I think that's why I built my route as fast as I did. And then, you know, getting to know those reps, like, hey, I can call somebody or Hayward or Jandy right now and be on the phone with them. If they're busy within 30 minutes, they'll talk me through whatever I need to do and we can get stuff done. You know, I've had it where a pump went out for a Hayward, but it was out of warranty, but they knew that there's issues with it for a while. So they, instead of having the customer pay full price with me, they came out within 24 hours, sold them a new variable speed pump for what the Try Me program price is. Yeah. And then the customer just had to pay for me to install it. So stuff like that, you know, really, I think is a huge benefit. And I have the same relationship with my Jandy rep in my area. They do the exact same thing.
The networking alone is such a huge piece that a lot of people don't think about, because it's just nice to be able to sit in a room of people and, you know, talk. And a lot of the people are going through the same issues that you are, and you're able to work through some of those. How did you do that? Or how did you overcome that? And that was a huge piece for me. I'm not currently an IPSA member. I was, but I'll probably get back on that. But for me, it was all about the networking.
Same with me, Zach. And that's when I first started. I had nobody. I mean, I was a fish out of water, right? I had no idea. So we figured it out. And Janie was actually the one that found out about IPSA and about the association. And we got our way in, and we met a gentleman there. His name's Gary, who's the president now of our chapter. And he's been instrumental in me actually being successful, or actually deciding to continue on with the pool industry. And as far as like networking, that was it. It was just a matter of getting to know people or understanding the business and kind of seeing how things worked and networking. And, you know, and we've been in it ever since. I think we have our next meeting next Thursday. It's been a little different now with the COVID and doing our little virtual meetings, but I think we're making it happen. And I think it's a great organization overall. But again, you know, it depends on the chapter, right? You're only as good as the people that are a part of it. We happen to have a great chapter, I think. And I know some other people might have had some bad experiences with IPSA, you know, but again, it just depends on the leadership there and who's running it.
And I think that happens. I think it happens it with happens all the chapters, everyone. Right? So if it you could be with OOPA and you don't have a good exactly. click with the people. But I'll tell you this, my first one was IPSA. And it really hit me after a while. So I'm doing this pool and the pump won't prime and it won't prime. And after I had gone to a couple of the meetings, a lot of the guys were like, hey, here's my number. If you ever need anything, call me. If you're trying to troubleshoot something and you can't figure it out, just call me. And I'm sitting trying to get this pump to prime for like 45 minutes and I've tried everything. And finally, I just get the nerves to call one of them because I'd never talked to him before. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm standing in front of this pump and it's not priming and blah, blah. And he's like, all right, tell me what you have. And I'm like, I got a Pentair pump and I've got a couple of Jandy valves. And he's like, okay, turn it on. I go, okay. And he goes, you're going to turn it off and you're going to stick your ear right next to the actuators right in front of it. Turned it off, put my ear and I could hear the whistle. And he's like, that's your problem. And I spent 45 minutes trying to figure that thing out on my own. And a phone call that took me like a minute. And he was like, change those. I changed them. Boom, the pump prime. And I'm like, that's the value of it right there.
When you started that story, Edgar, I was going to say, knowing you, I would have said the first thing, if you would have called me, I would have said, Edgar, look down at your feet. Is the O-ring or is the pump lid ring on the floor?
Thanks for that, John. I appreciate that.
Said, oh, yeah, it's supposed to go on there. Okay.
I forgot to put the lid on, John.
Yeah.
Well, I know that for some of my newer members, I've personally, where they don't do repairs just yet, and they've had an issue, and they've called me and referred me, and I got the job. And so what I did instead of like always taking their repairs is, hey, come, I'll be there on this day at this time. Why don't you come help me? And then I could teach you how to do it. So then you can do it from now on. And I do think there are a lot of IPSA members who will do that. Obviously, like he said, it depends on your chapter, but overall, everyone's there to help each other out.
Oh yeah, for sure. And the support. Now, let me ask you a question. You join the IPSA and you're kind of going to the meetings and all that kind of stuff. And like, what was that transition to, well, now I'm the president of the chapter?
Like I said, as soon as I was a member, I was the secretary. I don't want to say took over, but the guys pretty much let me do what I wanted. So if I found speakers, they're like, yep, no problem. We can do that. And, you know, obviously I'd always like consult them and talk to them first before doing anything because I like it as a team effort. But, you know, people get busy and stuff. So over time, it then got to where the president was ready to not necessarily not be involved, but maybe step down from where he was just for a break. And he became our treasurer, and they just decided that I would be best as president. And I was obviously nervous, and they're like, don't worry, just talk to us and we'll help you out. The guys on my board are really, really great. They're helpful. I do a lot, but that's just because I'm more of a multitasker, and you know, they're busy. But if I want them to do something, I just ask, and then someone will volunteer, and we'll just try to make it a team effort. I think that's great that I have that instead of having maybe people who are more hesitant to change or adaption or trying stuff new, because I'm always about trying something new, whatever I can do to get more members and make my chapter better for the members. Because I remember when I was in high school, the chapter I'm in, my dad was part of the founding people. And I remember the room being packed, like standing room only, people out the door. And that's where I would like my chapter to be back at, if I can do that.
So what are some of the responsibilities you have as the president of your chapter?
So just kind of oversee that things are getting done, make sure things are being turned in. I find speakers for our meetings every month. I'm overall a primary contact for the reps and stuff like that. So if they want to talk or present something, or, you know, sometimes you get ones that are doing like sales pitches, but you're like, okay, you can talk, but you have to have an educational piece to it. I'm that person that they talk to. Also, I go, so you have your chapter meetings every month, but then chapter presidents go to regional meetings once a quarter. That way the region director can give information to us that we then give to our members. You know, because sometimes people don't see the emails, or there might be something that they didn't necessarily email out, but they still want people to be aware of, stuff like that. I also just oversee that, you know, about the newsletter, which I've been kind of slacking on the newsletter lately, but, you know, make sure that the chapter supporter invoices have been taken care of, a second eyes for any bookkeeping. Luckily I have a great treasurer, so I'm not too worried about him. He turns things in on time. He's always up to date on stuff. So just be that leader that kind of guides things. I'm also the person that you come to if a member is having a problem with another member, if they feel like they're encroaching on their work, or feel like they just need maybe a reminder about policies and stuff like that.
Very cool. Hey, I have another question for you guys, but let's take a quick word from our sponsors. And when we come back, Kelly, I'm going to jump back in and ask you a couple questions.
The sound of you continually pitching pool care poles into the trash. The sound of you using an Ultimate Pool Tools carbon fiber pool care pole for years to come. Go to ultimatepooltools.com or Instagram at Ultimate Pool Tools. Introducing Pool Invoice. Pool Invoice is pool billing software that was created specifically for the pool service and repair industry. It was developed for our industry and only our industry. Pool Invoice was built with recurring billing in mind. You can print, email, text invoices, or even send via WhatsApp. You can add recurring or yearly charges, accept credits, and set up auto pay. You can even see when customers have seen the invoice. It even has a customer portal where they can log in and see, print, and pay invoices. It has all of your customers' information on one page, so you don't need to search through hundreds of invoices looking for the one you need. Just go to the customer's profile, and it's all at your fingertips. It's currently in beta phase, so anyone can use it for free. Just go to poolinvoice.com and request an invitation at the bottom of the page. Pool Invoice was made for you.
Welcome back, everyone. We're talking to Kelly Carrillo. We're getting her story on how she got started in the pool industry, and we're going to soon start to talk about the pool girl training because she's the founder of that. A couple more questions, Kelly, before we jump into the pool girl training. So I do want to ask, you're the IPSA president, you're a female, you get somebody new, a guy coming into the IPSA, do they do a double take, or do they just kind of flow?
If they do, I don't notice because I'm too busy talking to people. I like to make sure that everybody feels acknowledged when they're at my meetings. We've gotten about 3 new members since I became president, and so far they're very friendly, receptive, no like, oh, I need to talk to a guy, nothing like that. People have been pretty good. Now, does that happen for everybody? I don't know, but that's just what I've experienced. Maybe I'm just very welcoming when somebody comes. Let's say we have a new person in our room. They're one of the first people I'm going to go try and talk to and make them feel welcome.
So running any business is always tough. What has been the hardest part for you when it comes down to running your business?
Sometimes I'm a little too nice. You know, this last year, I actually had to, you know, crack down and stop giving things for free. You know, obviously sometimes it's okay, but I can't do it all the time. I had to just like crack down and put my foot down. You know, if I lose the customer because I'm not, you know, bending over backwards, it's okay. I'm here to make money. I'm here to make a living. I'm not here to, you know, be, yeah, like, and I'm not saying that, like I said, I still have times where I'm like, oh, I'll just throw a little extra chlorine or a little algicide in occasionally, but that's about it. And it, like I said, I did lose some customers, but they weren't the ones that I'd want anyways. So that's my biggest thing.
And that goes, like, we were just having a conversation about basically that this morning, and it goes back into the, you know, it's when you do a favor, because we're the same way. We always want to help everyone. We always want to be nice. But it's that one time you do that favor that it turns around and bites you. And it just goes along with, you know, setting that expectation. We just recently had one where we did a favor and now we're regretting it. It's like, oh, man, that's why we don't do that. You know, so it's kind of sad, but you just find that balance of, you know, I can still be nice, but like you said, I'm going to get paid for this stuff.
Yeah. And I think a lot, you know, a lot of us go through that phase and through that learning, and then really kind of establish ourselves and are able to kind of look at it from the business standpoint and be like, hey, I need to really structure this as a business. And, you know, there is no freebies because they will come back to bite you. Kelly, let's talk about the Pool Girl Training, because you founded the Pool Girl Training. How did you come up with that idea?
Actually, me and another lady came up with it. So one night I was on Facebook while I was up, you know, feeding my baby because he was really young at the time. And I saw somebody had posted on the Pool Girl Power Facebook group, which is a group that this lady Andrea had made as a safe place for all of us to come to and get advice from each other and show off what we're doing. And so I responded to it. It was about, it was asking for women in Northern California who are interested in doing it all women's hands-on training. And so I started talking to her about it. She had set most of it up. It was with Fluidra, and we did it at Leisure Supply here in Sacramento. And it was a great training. We got to learn a lot. We learned about installing variable speed pumps, some controllers, their cleaners, some basic electrical, and it was really great. There was about 13 of us, and it kind of grew from there. That was back in January of 2020, and then COVID happened, so we didn't have any more trainings until November, where Pentair and Hasa did a hands-on training. It really wasn't hands-on, it was more of a presentation just because of COVID restrictions. So we had 9 women attend in person, and we learned about how to make a system energy efficient using Pentair products. We also learned about chlorine chemistry from Terry Arco with Hasa. And then we also had some of the members from our Facebook group, PGP Industry Training, watch from Facebook Live. So that was really nice. People loved it. Right before we had that training, I did start a Facebook group for women. Men can join as long as, you know, they support women and their growth in the industry. A lot of women have experienced really horrible situations. The lady who helped found this group, Jeanette Reed with A&R Pool Service. She had gone to a Pentair training, spent a lot of money because it's a whole weekend, you know, you got to have hotel and that kind of thing. Was in the training. This guy came in late, came up to her, took the tools out of her hand and pushed her out of the way.
Wow.
And started working on the whatever equipment. So, you know, she experienced that. Almost all the women probably have experienced some sort of sexism in our industry. And so that's why we decided we wanted a safe place to have hands-on trainings. And we just kind of grew it from there.
I would lose my shit.
I knew John was going to say something.
I would lose my shit. If we were at a training and somebody came and did that to Jeannie, oh my God, I would lose my shit. Or to any other woman at a training. I just can't even believe it. That's unbelievable.
That's insane. So, Kelly, what is the ultimate goal or vision for the Pool Girl training?
The vision for it is to have a place for women to be able to grow their skills on a technical level. I want them to be the biggest asset to their customers as possible.
So what advice do you have for a pool girl coming into the industry?
Just be strong and keep going no matter what downsides happen. Just keep, I guess you could say the saying, keep trucking. Like, just don't let anything get you down in the industry. Work hard, learn everything. Just keep learning. Me personally, I think education is key in making money in this industry. And if you don't keep learning and you just stay in one set way, you will just stay at that level. The more you grow, the more successful you'll be and the more money you'll make.
Now, do you happen to know, you know, obviously this is a male dominated industry, but do you know what percentage of women are in the industry?
From what I've read, there is 13% women in our industry.
Is that just service or just in general in the industry?
I'm thinking it's more of a general, so that probably includes, you know, service, repair, stores, back office, reps, stuff like that. So it's not very many. Do you think that this industry is great for women, especially women who either have a family or going to have a family, because you can have a flexible schedule, make it around your kids, you know, doctor's appointments or games or meetings with teachers or whatever it is. You can also, like I said, however much you want to work, you can, however little or, you know, big amount it is. On top of it, you have support with other people within the industry when you meet them. Like, you become practically a family. When I had my youngest son, I actually used my IPSA sick route, which is now actually going to be called Tech for Techs, for maternity leave.
Wait, run that by me again. They're going to do...
So IPSA is changing sick route from being called sick route to Tech for Techs, because it's not just for people who are sick. It's for people who are sick or injured, have surgery, or they have, even within my chapter, taking care of routes when someone had died while the spouse is selling the route.
That makes a lot of sense. And that's a great one. I hadn't even thought about it for the females. It's just being able to take, you know, the maternity and being able to have your pools, covers, and taken care of during that time. That's huge.
Yeah, it's I kind of consider it a kind of insurance policy. You know, it's an income insurance policy for you, because you know when you're out, you're going to have people that you know within your chapter who are qualified, meaning they have to pass a water certification test. They go to trainings at the meetings, stuff like that. And they're not allowed to encroach on your work. So you're not going to lose that income while you're incapacitated.
That's a big one. John, you recently were covering some pools for somebody, right?
Oh, yeah. We just finished, actually, a few months ago. We were covering a couple routes, actually, at the same time. One for almost a year for one of our members that was going through some serious issues. But he's got it figured out, and we're good to go.
Yeah. Yeah. We had one where, you know, unfortunately his wife, you know, had, you know, terminal cancer, and he was actually the president of our chapter. And so, you know, we were helping cover the pools and stuff like that. Also makes you feel good, you know, because you're kind of out there and you kind of feel like you got support and that you're supporting the other people in your chapter. And especially for those that are single pool guys or the one polers, like we say, it's huge. You know, you get out there, you break an ankle or you break something, then you know that you're at least covered and you have that insurance to make sure that you're not going to lose your business.
Yeah, I actually had to use it not just for SICRA. I had emergency surgery this last month and my route was covered, and thank God, because, you know, I have some people on my route that are like, you don't show up, I want a discount, or if you're late, I want a discount, or like any of that. So it really helped. And one thing is, I don't think people need to understand about the tech for techs is you don't get charged, like you don't get charged as if you had an employee. All they can charge you for at most is what chemicals they use at wholesale costs. That way, you know, you're again, not out of a lot of money. But a lot of times I've noticed that not all members will even charge for anything, you know, you, especially because usually it's only for a few weeks.
Yeah. The times that we did it, we didn't charge. And I'm sure you probably have a guy or two that's going to be like, well, I'm putting out money or whatever. But, you know, for us, it was always, you know, we're just glad to help and we got your back. Kelly, let me ask you this. What tips do you have for other pool girls out there on how to win over customers that are hesitant because they're females?
Well, one trick I do is when I meet them, we look over the pool, we look over the equipment, see how everything's going, come up with a plan together. So they're going to learn my education as we're talking. So they see it's not just I decided today to go do a pool. No, I'm giving them information and like helpful advice of how to make their pool more efficient. Ask them about the problems they have with their pool and how we can fix it. So again, that education piece comes back. You want to just take the extra little time and show them what you know. You'll get a couple where usually for me, it's the older people where they are like, no, I don't know if I could trust you. I had a customer who was in his 80s. His pool was green and nothing worked. And I'm like, your total dissolved solids is high. And he didn't believe me. He's like, I've never heard of that. Never drained my pool in 25 years. And he took water sample to Leslie's. They tested it, told him exactly what I told him. And then he's like, well, I'm sorry. You know, I didn't believe you. So yeah, definitely show him just the knowledge, be really nice and friendly. I found talking to my customers and telling them, hey, we're going to work on this together. This is a team effort. They like that. They're not just going to feel like a number.
I agree with that one. You know, actually with both, but I used to do that to my customers too. To just kind of take them along the journey so that they would know, hey, we're going to try this and this. And if this doesn't work, then this is, you know, the ultimate thing that we have to do. And when you did that, they were a lot more willing to do whatever it is that you wanted to get done. Let me ask you this. So you have the Facebook page for the pool girl training. Is that really kind of where they're going to go sign up and be able to do the trainings?
So you sign up for the group and that's where we advertise our trainings predominantly, but I also put up other information. So any trade shows or virtual trade shows I put up there. Bob Lawry puts advertisements up for his class. Hayward puts up their classes notifications up there as well. If I find anything that could be helpful, I put it on there. So like chemicals, new plaster startups, I put guidelines of different ones up there. A bonding, pool bonding image where you see the whole pool and what goes into it. Pretty much I'm constantly learning myself. So anything great I put on there, I put information on borates because I think that is a great option right now during our shortage. And then you have the advertisements for the trainings or webinars. And we did do one on Facebook Live, but I wasn't happy with the sound quality and people were having trouble hearing. So now we're going to be offering the webinar version of our in-person trainings on Zoom. So they can just email me their address or email address, and then I'll send them an invite. If I already have their email, I'm just automatically going to send an invite. And if they join, that's great. More the merrier.
We never have issues with live stuff, right, Zach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. We never have live issues.
No, 100% all the time.
Oh, Lord. So those are stressful. We just had our Instagram live. Zach and I were supposed to do it, and Instagram was down, and we couldn't connect him. And then I had to kind of try to pull it together all at the last minute. So that was fun. And then I remember, what was yours, John? You couldn't connect to Bob?
Yeah, I couldn't connect to Bob. And every time I clicked him, connected, it showed him for a second, and then it went away on my screen. But he was still there. It was such a pain in the ass.
I think secretly was trying to do it without me.
Yeah, especially that within 20 minutes, I was out of, you know, content, Zach. So I was like, oh, man. So, yeah, those lives are killer, but, you know, you kind of have to do them. What do you have in the works next for training?
So we have a webinar next Thursday, the 21st, at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with the co-CFO, Dave Haas. He's going to be talking about the business side. So he's going to teach us how to assess our companies and see how, if we're even making a profit, what we need, give some pointers on how to get more business through your current business. He's also going to talk about hiring people, really a great breakdown of everything. I have not heard his speech on that subject yet, but I hear from a lot of people, it's a great presentation he gives. He just recently went to one of our local chapters and did a presentation on Zoom, and they had like 53 people, and people walked away saying, I don't think I'm making any money now. So I got that webinar because I like to ask the ladies, I try to do it twice a month, what they want to learn. You know, I could give you everything I want to learn, but I want them to feel they're getting a benefit. And that was a huge one, was they wanted to hear the business side of the pool industry. And then on the 26th of February, we'll have an in-person training here in Sacramento, actually with my dad. He's going to be doing a basic electrical class. So he's going to teach us what electricity is, the kind of electricity we do, safety. He'll teach us how to put a breaker in, a variable speed pump, a timer, pretty much residential electrical things that we feel like the ladies need to learn. All of my trainings are based off of feedback I've gotten from the ladies and what they asked to learn about. So that will be exciting. We don't have a location for it just yet, but we have two places that we might have it. When we do our in-person trainings, we limit the number right now because of COVID, and we make sure to have hand sanitizer, masks, space, stuff like that.
John, go ahead and book the ticket for Mama. She's going to fly first class, 5-star hotel, and she is going to that training.
Yep, there you go.
There you go, Mama. I just got you the permission for that, and I'm going to put you on the air. So you said yes, right, John?
Yes.
Yes, there you go, Mama. So, yep. Mama, call me. Give me John's credit card number. I'll book it all, and I'll reserve it. I'll talk to Kelly and make sure she has a spot for you. Let me ask
you this. She's already messaged me about being on the webinar.
There you go. Let me ask you this, because she's asking on here on our notes, and I want maybe you to answer it. What vacuum do you use, Kelly? Any tips and tricks? I like to hear what other women like to use.
So I'm pretty basic compared to everyone else. I just use, you know, a basic vacuum head and a Leaf Master. I don't have very many pools with high leaf loads. And a lot of my pools, I've been able to put on a service I call Chem Filter Deluxe, which is pretty much everything but me physically cleaning their pool. And people love that service. So I'm pretty, like I said, pretty basic.
I'm going to say timeout. Wait. Back up. Deluxe. I like that. Back up. You got my attention there really quick. Okay. So obviously you have different, you know, tiers of packages. So yeah. What are they?
Okay. I used to do chem only, and then I stopped this year because I found that chem only had too many issues. In my chem only, it's chemicals only. I don't check anything, empty baskets or any of that. And customers would, you know, obviously be blaming me for not putting enough chemicals in their pool because they left leaves in there all winter. So now I have two services. The first one is Chem Filter Deluxe. With Chem Filter Deluxe, you have to have a pool cleaner. I balance the chemicals. I empty all baskets. I empty the canister or bag of the pool sweep. I brush the tile line in steps, and I clean the filter as needed. That is actually a pretty big service, like popularity among my customers. A lot of them, that's all they need. Their pool is so efficient, they don't need anything more. And then I have full service, which is everything I mentioned, plus vacuuming or leaf bagging, scooping, leaf raking, everything you need to clean the pool.
That's great. I love that.
I'm like sitting here just thinking of all the possibilities.
I knew Jossack was going to say something.
Actually, the Chem Filter Deluxe I got from my mom when she did a route, she came up with that one. Like you see people, a lot of people charge for filter cleanings. I don't. If you are on service, it's part of it. And since I'm doing it on a regular basis, I find that it's not that much more work. Now, I do limit how many filter cleanings they get a year. You know, I'm not cleaning the filter every month with the price they get. Obviously, during the initial, if they have like 150 square foot filter, I'm going to let them know up front, you get, you know, 2 to 3 for free, but anything after that, I'm charging you more. But then that's another way for me to get a filter sale.
Yeah. Now, what kind of filters do you guys have out there?
We're predominantly cartridge filters, but there still is DE and sand filters.
So are you guys like Florida where you have a lot more of the smaller one cartridge filters?
No, thank God. In the 3 years I've been doing this, I think I've seen maybe a handful of like 150 square foot filters. It's not very often. A lot of people, when you talk to them about, if you see it and you talk about, hey, we can get the, you know, three to 400 square foot cartridge filter in here and we only need to clean it, you know, once, twice a year, better filtration, better clarity of the water, then they're usually sold on it because they don't want to clean it that much and they don't want to pay for me to clean it that much.
So for those ladies that want to connect with you and be part of the pool girl training, how can they contact you and connect with you?
They can either on Instagram, go to pool_girl_trainings, or they can go on Facebook and search for PGP Industry Trainings. PGP stands for Pool Girl Pro, or they can just find me on Facebook under Kelly Carrillo.
Yeah. And if you do the search, ladies, on Instagram, you don't have to put the underscores. If you put it all together, it kind of filters through and it'll, you actually come to the top, right? When you start put pool trainings, pool girl trainings. So it kind of feeds up there really quick.
I didn't even know that.
Guys, do you guys have any more questions? No?
A lot of good stuff already.
I do. I'm going to ask you something, Kelly. And answer really quick without thinking. Just blurt it out. Ready?
Okay. Yeah.
Hayward Jandy Pentair.
Hayward.
Gotcha. Why Hayward?
I like their products, but the biggest thing for me is their customer service.
In what sense, their customer service?
They're if I have an issue, they're there for me. I had a situation where one of the suppliers was supposed to order something for a pump housing for me. They said it was coming from Texas and it'd be there the next week. I was like, okay, no problem. Call the next week. It's still not there. It's now coming from Southern California. I'm like, okay, whatever, you know. And then checked back. Oh, we still don't have it. Still on its way. And I was just like, well, what's going on? So then they look further into it and they're like, yeah, it's on back order with 400 and something others. So we don't know when we'll get one. So me being me posted on one of the Facebook groups, my frustrations, and my rep for my area was like, Kelly, I have one. Come by my house, pick it up. You can have it for free. And did just that. So they are always there for me. They always help me out. They try to do as much as they possibly can for the customer. If that's, you know, like I said earlier, selling them a pump at a discounted rate, just so they save face, I guess you can call it.
Yeah. And I think we've talked about it before. We always kind of tend to see that, especially when they have those really good reps, those areas do, you know, really well. So guys, let's take a quick word from our sponsors. And when we come back, Zach, John, I want to get your final thoughts.
The Hyper Pole from Ultimate Pool Tools is a pool care pole designed by pool professionals for pool professionals, featuring precision crafted carbon fiber and stainless steel construction. Go to ultimatepooltools.com or Instagram at Ultimate Pool Tools.
Welcome back, guys. We are talking to Kelly, the founder of Pool Girls Training, and we are towards the end of our podcast. Zach, let me get your final thoughts.
Yeah, I love doing these episodes because I like hearing other people's journeys through the pool industry. And one thing I always try to point out to people is that the pool industry isn't just the stereotype of, you know, I clean pools one summer. It's an industry that has so much opportunity. And I know a lot of people that have entered this industry and it's been a lifelong journey. You know, I've talked to, seems like any rep I talk to, any trainer, distribution, they all started somewhere else in the industry. And that's been their lifelong journey. And Kelly, your story goes right along with this. And it's so cool to me that this industry runs so deep with your family. And for as for the training, you know, I'm a big advocate for training. I think we all are. And with the Pool Boys, we're always looking for more training opportunities. So I think it's really cool that you have brought the pool girl training to the industry to provide more opportunities for the pool girls out there. And other than that, I just want to say thank you, Kelly, for taking the time to come on and share your story with us.
Thank you guys for helping me get the word out there.
No problem.
Just to kind of tag on what Zach said too and everything, you know, we've talked about this before when we had all the ladies on. I think what you're doing, Kelly, is amazing. And I think the industry needs to have a lot more of it. Our pool industry, for the one thing, and we talk about this, and I've said this many times, is, you know, my goal and what I want us to do is to elevate our industry so that we're, you know, we're looked upon as more of a professional so that we can, you know, because we do, there's a lot of work that we do. And it's always, we say, you know, where do we lie on the totem pole when it comes down to service agencies or, you know, people that are doing service, gardener, pool guy, HVAC, plumber, electrician, stuff. And I think personally that we need to be much higher on that totem pole, because I think our jobs and our responsibility encompass a lot more than what people believe it does. And having women in the industry, I think gets us to that place faster, because naturally women, they're more, they're friendlier to talk to. They're easier to talk to. They're more personable. They have more attention to detail than some guys do or most guys do. And having that type of service in a backyard helps differentiate yourself from other, you know, from other service agencies or other pool companies. So how to get from good or just being average and becoming best is being able to have those qualities and being able to build those relationships with customers, or being, you know, having that high attention to detail where, you know, people start to pick that up and understand it and see it, you know, and having more women in it in the industry, I think gets us to that spot faster. And I might be a little biased because I have my wife who's in it, but I've seen it firsthand and I know how great she is. And I'm literally telling you, she is better at doing this than I am, you know, and I'm not saying that I'm the greatest. I'm by far, I'm learning every single day, but she is very good at what she does. And I think having more women, you know, being able to provide that service is only going to be better for everybody. And whatever you need, Kelly, period, from us, you know, we're here for you. Because we want to, this isn't just a speech. This is from the bottom of my heart and our hearts, whatever we can do to help change this movement or help change the industry so that we take that 13%. We talk about, you know, that's reps and all that. If you really talk about pool service techs, I'm sure it's like 2-3%. And if we can get that number to 20, 30, 40%, I think we're going to be all better off.
Kelly, I really tip my hat off to you, because not only do you, you know, not only are you a mother, you have your route, you're IPSA president, you go out and you are doing all this extra work to create this pool girls training to really find that niche and really help the girls out there. And it's a lot of work. And so, you know, it's all pure desire. It's all pure effort, because obviously, you know, you don't get paid to do all that, but yet you're doing everything else. And on top of that, taking in this huge, you know, task. And, you know, Zach, John, and I, you know, now know how it is, because it's like you have all this other work to do. And on top of that, you know, they're taking time to do this podcast, to do the Instagram lives. But it's really because it's the desire to, like John says, elevate our industry. And people always talk about it. People always say, oh, well, I wish our industry was better. And, oh, you know, I wish guys would do this or do that. But nobody's willing to do what it is that you're doing, or like Zach and John, where it's like, go out, do everything. And then on top of that, take all the workload on your shoulders to improve the industry. So I really tip my hat off to you, you know, from us, whatever it is that you need to help you, and we'll continue to announce your trainings and, you know, support you in any way that we can. So hats off to you. I think you're doing a phenomenal job. And I think especially all the other pool girls that I've talked to out there talk very highly of you, and they definitely appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Yeah, I want the women to know it's a great place for them. And if there's any women out there that want to do in-person trainings in their area and want advice on how to do it, they can always contact me and I'll advertise their trainings and stuff. Because the more, like you said, the more we learn, the more professional we are, and the better things will become in this industry.
Absolutely. And we will need to connect. What I want to do is I want to get a banner up on the Poolman University for your Facebook page and just kind of direct them over to your page.
Thanks. Yeah, that's one of the hardest things about this is finding the women. But once you get them, they're there.
Yes. So, and, you know, I think we have a lot of listeners that are females, and, you know, they're very loyal. And not only that, they always provide great information where I could go to a group of people and say, hey, what do you guys want to listen? What do you guys need? Everybody kind of goes quiet. I know I can always count on the females to be very vocal and be like, hey, you know, you need to talk about this. You need to talk about that. So all of you ladies out there, me, Zach, and John, really appreciate you. And just so that it's recorded here, Mama, you do have a first class ticket going over to that new training. John has agreed here, so we've got it on. If he does not agree to that, let me know, and we will contact an attorney to make sure that we get that issue solved. Right, Zach?
You better get out there and do some repairs, John.
Right, I know, right?
And she's going,
I gotta go.
First class, 5-star, baby.
I gotta go.
So, all right, guys, I hope you've enjoyed the podcast. Zach, John, as usual, thank you for your time. Kelly, it was great having you. Great story. And we will all be in touch. Thanks for another one, guys.
Bye. See y'all later.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Pool Nation podcast. You can listen to us live every Friday here at 8 a.m. Pacific, 10 a.m. Central, and 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can find us at Pool Nation or poolnationpodcast.com or Instagram at pool.nation.